From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump has launched a seemingly inexplicable war on Puerto Rico. Having glommed onto false information about federal disaster funding, Trump on Monday tweeted, "Puerto Rico got far more money than Texas and Florida combined, yet their government can't do anything right. The place is a mess. Nothing works." He said Puerto Rico got $91 billion for the hurricane, more money than has ever been gotten for a hurricane before. These are statements that he's reportedly made in private before as well. And in response, Puerto Rican leaders like Governor Ricardo Rossello have desperately tried to meet with Trump, particularly given that the U.S. colony has been forced to cut its food stamp program, which about a third of the population relies on. Trump has been actively avoiding Rossello and has inspired the governor to hit back, even threatening to, quote, punch the bully in the mouth. Earlier this week, the U.S. Senate voted down a bill to extend the food stamp program. My guest is Eric LeCompte. He is the executive director of Jubilee USA. Welcome, Eric.
It's great to be with you, Sonali.
First, let's talk about some of these figures that Trump is touting and where he gets them from. My understanding is that this figure of $91 billion is completely and utterly, entirely false. And it's based on, or some people surmise that it might be, he might be getting it from the fact that the total damage that Puerto Rico suffered from Hurricanes Irma and Maria amounted to about $91 billion. Can you make sense of this?
Well, a lot of people have tried to explain where these numbers are coming from the president. And it seems clearly that it's a misunderstanding of what the damage was that took place in Puerto Rico against the actual aid that Puerto Rico has received for recovery and for rebuilding. So the total damage estimates for Puerto Rico range from $90 to $120 billion. As estimates of the damage that took place from the 2017 hurricanes Irma and Maria. In terms of what has passed so far by congressional action, by White House action, roughly about $50 billion in aid has passed for Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. But unfortunately, much of that aid hasn't been dispersed. The most reliable estimates around the amount of aid that Puerto Rico has received to date is probably around $14 billion. So they've been promised by Congress and the White House $50 billion, but we believe for the total recovery and rebuilding to take place for Puerto Rico to rebuild to withstand the next storm, we're looking at somewhere between $90 billion and $120 billion that's needed for recovery for the island.
So Trump is taking the damage that the island suffered, claiming that's how much it has already received, even though about half that has been appropriated and only a tiny fraction has actually been delivered. There are some reports that Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney is the one whispering these figures into his ears. He's also said that Puerto Rico got far more money than Texas and Florida combined. Do you get the sense that he is sort of otherizing Puerto Rico, that this foreign place, this colony that, some members of his own administration has referred to as another country is undeserving of aid, especially when compared to places that he considers important, like Texas and Florida?
Well, unfortunately, over the last few months, we've seen a lot of misinformation be put out there around Puerto Rico. And unfortunately, some of that misinformation has come from the president. The damage estimates in terms of aid are clearly one of those issues. But I think we've also seen that Puerto Rico has kind of become a bargaining chip right now as Congress is in a very unhealthy place in terms of working together. Puerto Rico has kind of become a bargaining chip to move forward proposals. Just recently, we saw the White House talking about taking aid that was committed from Puerto Rico in order to build or strengthen the border wall that the president wants to build in the south of the United States along the Mexican border. And of course, right now, what we've seen is that in the Senate, which is now responsible for passing disaster relief legislation for Puerto Rico, Iowa, Nebraska, North Carolina, Florida, Iowa, that this legislation that also includes Puerto Rico has been held up. And again, that's been around how much money the island should receive. I think, unfortunately, a lot of Americans don't understand that people living in Puerto Rico, people born in Puerto Rico, are U.S. citizens. And even though as a U.S. territory, they can't vote like Texas can in terms of an election and voting for a president, the citizens are American citizens. And when they board a $60 plane flight from San Juan to Orlando, when they get off the plane as American citizens, they can fully vote for the president of the United States. So we're dealing, unfortunately, with a reality that a lot of us don't realize: the 3.5 million people that live in Puerto Rico are actually citizens of the United States.
But they don't have congressional representation that actually carries weight, right? There's one representative who's a non-voting member. So they can vote, but they literally don't have, similar to the District of Columbia, do not have any kind of federal congressional representation with teeth.
That's right. They don't have a binding vote or a vote that counts when a congressional count is close. They're able to vote, but that vote, again, doesn't count when it really matters. The member of Congress representing Puerto Rico, the resident commissioner, Jennifer Gonzalez, has done a very strong job representing her people. But unfortunately, that's one of the issues with Puerto Rico, as well as other U.S. territories. Because of its political colonial status, it's kind of in a place of limbo. And we see that being a challenge right now as disaster aid needs to be allocated to the suffering people, the suffering Americans in the island. But we also see that as a challenge for all kinds of problems that come in front of Puerto Rico, from their debt crisis to dealing with status issues. Because they're not a U.S. state or an independent country, because they're somewhere in between, they often don't have the tools that U.S. states have in terms of requesting disaster aid or being able to deal with a financial crisis.
And is that also part of Trump's misinformation, that he is claiming that Puerto Rico is going to take its disaster, federal disaster aid, and put it towards its the debt that it faced from before the hurricane?
Well, and that's certainly a real concern. Unfortunately, Puerto Rico has been dealing with a severe financial crisis before the hurricanes hit. And that had to do with a lot of reasons. The major reason that we know Puerto Rico was suffering from a crisis is in the mid-2000s, Congress didn't renew tax incentives for pharmaceuticals and corporations that were operating on the island. So almost overnight, 100,000 very high-paying jobs left the island, immediately losing an important revenue base for the island. So since the mid-2000s, we saw the global financial crisis hit. We saw tourism be affected in all places of the Caribbean. So Puerto Rico kept on borrowing to try and keep itself out of a financial crisis. Unfortunately, Puerto Rico at that point, and even now, 60% of the kids, U.S. citizens, live in poverty in Puerto Rico. And one out of two people that live in Puerto Rico live in poverty. So we had this terrible financial crisis, and we also had several creditors and predatory hedge funds that were trying to take advantage of Puerto Rico's crisis. And then the hurricanes came in 2017. And this was after Congress and President Obama had signed into law a super bankruptcy process for the island. The process had started to go in a place where it looked much of that debt was going to be cut. debt cuts were looking to be at 80% of payments. But then when the hurricanes came in, Irma and Maria, Puerto Rico was then hit with a third hurricane. What happened is after they were devastated by these terrible hurricanes, while they were already dealing with austerity from the debt crisis, Puerto Rico now was trapped in a place where not only was recovery becoming challenging, but because there was some new federal aid coming in and construction aid coming in, we saw the oversight board and the bankruptcy process start to look at paying creditors more money in debt deals. So where we've seen a lot of challenges from President Trump in terms of some of the information he's put out on Puerto Rico, there is a concern that as federal aid comes in, it could be more money to pay the creditors. With that said, I think some of President Trump's recent tweets and recent comments on Puerto Rico have been directed at the problem of corruption in the Puerto Rican government. And unfortunately, corruption's a problem in U.S. states. It's a problem in Puerto Rico and one that our partners on the ground are gravely concerned about. With that said, it's important to note that the recovery aid and the rebuilding aid that's coming in from Congress is monitored in a highly structured process. So it doesn't really allow corruption or mismanagement in terms of recovery aid going for recovery or rebuilding aid going for rebuilding. But unfortunately, I think what we're seeing is as Senate is debating disaster relief for a number of states and territories, Puerto Rico is getting thrown on the table in terms of how much aid should go to the island. And it's become a big fight between Republicans, Democrats, and the White House. Right.
Now, I want to focus a little bit more on the food stamp issue. I said about a third of the population currently relies on food stamps. Has that percentage increased since the hurricanes hit because of the hurricanes, because so much of the island's infrastructure has been devastated? And what is the current status of that program?
So the food stamp program or the nutrition assistance program, which is the Puerto Rico territory version that U.S. states have of SNAP, nutritional assistance program, the supplemental program. This program does fund the most vulnerable people in Puerto Rico in terms of being able to get basic access to food. After the hurricanes, we saw the program increased for several hundred thousand people. Unfortunately, because by March 1st, the Senate hadn't reauthorized the program as the House did, funding ran out. So it meant that close to 1.5 million poor people living in Puerto Rico saw their food assistance benefits cut. And so that's where we're at right now. The food benefits were cut on March 1st. So 1.5 million people have less to get by on than when they previously did. The Senate on Monday, in both of the packages that it failed to pass, would have continued the authorization for $600 million so that 1.5 million poor people in Puerto Rico could get access to food assistance. But unfortunately, now we're going on 5 weeks where 1.5 million Americans have lost access to vital food stamps on the island.
So what does that mean? How are people coping? I understand that one of the things that's happening is that the exodus that in a way began when the bankruptcy crisis hit Puerto Rico, the debt crisis hit, has continued and is an even increase. And we're seeing large numbers of Puerto Ricans now making their way to Florida.
That's right. Unfortunately, with the Puerto Rico situation, we've seen more than a million people leave the island in recent years. And that at first began as a result of the bankruptcy process. Already there were very high poverty numbers on the island, with 60% of kids living in poverty in Puerto Rico. But when austerity set in with problems where Puerto Rico could no longer pay its debt, They closed 300 schools. They stopped emergency medical care and medical facilities on the island. They laid off law enforcement and emergency personnel. So when the hurricanes hit in 2017, because of the austerity that was already in place, people didn't have an emergency response on the island. But already hundreds of thousands of people were fleeing the island. And that was a real range of people, from the poorest citizens who could buy a $45 plane ticket to Miami to exodus of wealthy professionals, doctors, lawyers, surgeons, professionals who left the island in search of work. So we've seen an exodus continue, first beginning with the debt crisis, then becoming even worse after the hurricanes. And unfortunately, as we see aid diminishing on the island, as we see aid not getting to the island, more and more people, Americans from Puerto Rico, are picking up their roots and setting them in the mainland United States.
Some have warned that in his attacks on Puerto Rico, Trump risks losing the state of Florida in 2020, where he held a slim majority in 2016. You know, not that that's a reason to care about Puerto Rico, but it could certainly come back to haunt him politically. Does he have the backing of many Republicans in his insistence on attacking Puerto Rico? If the Senate votes are any indication, it seems as though the Republican Party is united with their president in writing off Puerto Ricans.
Well, I think there are a lot of issues concerning the upcoming elections. And the Puerto Rican vote, the Puerto Rico diaspora vote, is a very important vote. There are more Puerto Ricans at this point living outside of Puerto Rico than living in Puerto Rico.
Oh, wow.
So there are several very important key states that are swing states, as well as states where the Puerto Rican population has a huge voting sway. So that includes Florida. It includes Texas, Pennsylvania, as being places that are generally in play during presidential elections. It also includes New York and Illinois. And we've seen Illinois and the Midwest becoming increasingly more in play. So the Puerto Rican population is very significant in the United States. I think when there has been misinformation from the White House on the number of deaths that took place in Puerto Rico as a result of the disasters or the amount of aid that's been dispersed, we've generally seen Republicans in these states put distance between themselves and the president, where they still want to work with the president on many issues, but there'd be very clear in public statements and tweets and social media that they disagree with the president's statements on Puerto Rico. And we see that very clearly in Florida right now with Rick Scott, the Republican governor, who continually, when the president makes statements on Puerto Rico, although supporting the president, makes some very clear distance between the president and themselves in regards to the issue of Puerto Rico.
Now, what about the Puerto Rican leadership itself? You know, you mentioned there is this issue of corruption, and Trump essentially implied that all of the money that Puerto Rico has gotten has been misused. I understand that internally Puerto Ricans are frustrated with the corruption that they do see within government, and the one-time Trump ally Ricardo Rosselló, who was quite friendly with Trump in 2017, has now gotten very frustrated with Trump's refusal to meet with him and has used some very strong, evocative language that he then kind of backtracked on. He said he didn't really mean to say he would actually punch the bully, but that it was more of a metaphorical statement, but still it was strong language coming from Rosselló.
Well, in terms of the question of corruption, there is a very serious issue that faces government across the island of Puerto Rico. just as it does in many parts of the world. We work very closely with partners in Puerto Rico from the religious sector, the nonprofit sector. In particular, we work very closely with the major religious leaders on the island who've been perhaps the most outspoken groups on the need for debt relief for Puerto Rico, on the need to be able to get enough aid so Puerto Rico can rebuild, as well as being a consistent voice for stopping corruption in Puerto Rico. I think that, you know, the governor has been someone that's done a very good job and worked very hard for his people. And where I don't think he is corrupt, I think, unfortunately, you do have levels of corruption that still exist within the government of Puerto Rico. And so there are several things that need to continue to happen in order to weed out corruption. But I think in terms of the aid question, which is very important, right now the aid that's going to Puerto Rico is supervised by Congress. It's supervised by a federally appointed oversight board that exists on the island. So disbursement around the aid, I don't think we need to be concerned about. But I think it's very important that as processes move forward in Puerto Rico, we need to ensure that the government of Puerto Rico is passing public budgets, that we have laws in place that protect responsible lending and borrowing, as well as ensure transparency so we don't have to worry with issues around corruption. Mm-hmm. I think one of the challenges with some of the comments from the president at times is that it's focusing on a corruption issue around the disbursement of aid, where the disbursement of aid is being distributed in a very highly monitored process.
And what do you make of San Juan Mayor Carmen Yulín Cruz, who Trump called, quote, crazed and incompetent? She was one of the very prominent leaders in Puerto Rico to have very early on criticized FEMA's response to the hurricane and stood up to very vocally Trump. And she's, I understand, considering running for governor in a couple of years. Do you see his attacks on her backfiring? She seems to be a very popular politician among Puerto Ricans.
In terms of, you know, how the president negotiates on these issues and the types of attacks we've seen from the president, it's hard to understand the reasoning for it. It seems at times to be part of budget negotiations, trying to move forward things in a way that the president would want them to move. With that said, we've seen the president and the White House issue a lot of personal attacks against leaders in Puerto Rico, ranging from the mayor of San Juan to the governor. And I think a lot of those attacks have been unfortunate because we're dealing with a very terrible situation where people, even before the hurricanes or before the debt crisis, we were dealing with essentially the population of the poorest Americans out of all U.S. citizens. And there's a lot of frustration there. So I think one of the challenges that we see here in Washington right now is that Puerto Rico is becoming a bargaining chip in some of these packages, these funding packages on Capitol Hill, when we shouldn't be asking who should get more aid, who should get less aid. We should just be ensuring that all American citizens, whether they're from Iowa or Puerto Rico, get the recovery and rebuilding disaster aid that they need.
So I want to thank you so much, Eric, for joining us today. Give out a website where people can find out more about the work that you do.
Please, if you go to JubileeUSA.org, that's JubileeUSA.org, right away you're going to see some vital action alerts as well as research about Puerto Rico. But we expect that the Senate could vote in the next few days to authorize disaster relief funding for all the states that need it, as well as for Puerto Rico. But that's only going to happen if we take action. So please check out our website for JubileeUSA. That's JubileeUSA.org.
JubileeUSA.org, which we will link to from our website. Thanks so much, Eric.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You too. Eric LeCompte is Executive Director of Jubilee USA. We've been discussing Puerto Rico and Trump's recent comments about it. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes and our video channel on Vimeo.